Is it, maybe I should say, a two-way conversation? Huh? I try to make it that way sometimes, right? But it really, in the way I'm thinking about it, it's not a good way to communicate, right? Because communication is whenever you sit down and you talk to one another, right? Now, whenever I do my premarital counseling sessions with couples, we talk about this a lot. Because when you communicate, you may share something, right? And then, now let me see, in real communication, while you're sharing with me, I'm actually thinking about what I'm going to say next, right? But isn't that how we communicate 90% of the time? I mean, do we really listen to the other person and think about what they're saying and then go, now, this is a kind of a counseling thing, but really we should do this in our everyday lives, especially with our spouses or brothers and sisters or whatever. Now, what I hear you saying is, right? Because they may have got up on the bed on the left side of their bed this morning, not on the right like I did, and I may not hear things the same way, right? And so you have to state back to them what you heard them say, correct? Right? No? Am I way off here? All right, yeah, you got it. Make sure that you understand what they're saying. And then you have to process what they're saying. And then you get to what? Respond back, right? Man, that's tough, isn't it? That's making me sweat just thinking about it. How about you? Yeah. So to honestly communicate with someone, we have to talk honestly, opening ourselves up to the other person. On the other hand, we must listen. We must listen. And listening is when you take every word that is said, process it, and then formulate an answer or a response. Now, talking to God is no different. We must listen, we must share, and open ourselves up to the will of God. And something, when we talked about prayer before, something that I made up that still to me is a very powerful statement. Prayer is to the soul what breathing is for the body. Now, we can go a long time without eating, right? Some of us more than others, right? We can go quite a while without drinking anything. But how long can we go without breathing? Probably most of us can't make it past 2 minutes. But some of us might be able to make it to 5 minutes, and that's probably just about as long as we could hold it, right? The world record is amazing. It's amazing. I just saw it the other day. It's like an hour or something like that. Yeah, it's amazing. I don't understand how they did it, right? So the ordinary everyday person, right? 2 minutes, 3 minutes, that's about as much as we can do. Well, if that is true with air, what do you think our souls are like in regards to our prayer life? Hold your breath and see how long that lasts, right? You'd be praying then. Prayer is to the soul what breathing is for the body. Well, something that I found in this book, Finding God in Unexpected Places, Philip Yancey. I don't know if any of you have seen or heard this book. He has an awesome story in here that I want to share with you. That is talking about, in our setting, it's talking about God's presence that's all around us, right? Theologian John Donne tells of a group of early Spanish sailors who reached the continent of South America after an arduous voyage. Their caravel sailed into the headwaters of the Amazon, an expanse of water so wide the sailors presumed it to be a continuation of the Atlantic Ocean. It never occurred to them to drink the water, since they expected it to be salty. And as a result, some of these sailors died of thirst. That scene of men dying of thirst, even as their ships floated on the world's largest source of fresh water, has become a metaphor for me for our age. Some people starve to death spiritually, while all around them manna rots.